Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Oh. Did you also see today, my goodness, we have lost another Kennedy.
Oh, yes.
Tatiana Schlossberg, granddaughter
of JFK.
Of JFK, dies at the age of 35. Family writing, our beautiful Tatiana passed away this morning. She will always be in our hearts. She was a climate journalist and announced the diagnosis of an aggressive form of cancer earlier in the year. She said in an essay she had been given less than a year to live. She was the daughter of Edwin Schlossberg and Caroline Kennedy. So this is Caroline Kennedy's daughter,
right.
Caroline Kennedy, losing her father, her uncle to assassinations, and now her daughter.
To cancer.
So sad.
Well, you've heard of the Kennedy curse.
Oh, of course.
Her cancer was diagnosed in May of last year when she gave birth to her second child, and a doctor noticed an abnormally high white blood cell count and ordered further tests. Rich Lockhart, the chief of police in Lawrence, good friend of the program, joining us on the KMBZ hotline. Chief, good afternoon. Welcome.
Hey, good afternoon. How are you guys?
Hey, Chief. Good to hear your voice. I know this is such a serious topic, but I just want to say congratulations to the department and everyone who worked so hard on this case.
Thank you very much, guys. It was a lot of hard work over, almost 26 years.
So we want to kind of catch everybody up, but let's start with this. Because this child sex predator lived in Lawrence, lived in Raytown, and lived in Kansas City, now that you have announced this arrest today, how quickly is his DNA in some database where other police departments can then cross-reference that for other crimes? There's no way there are only two sets of victims here.
Yeah, there is really no way. So his DNA was entered into CODIS a couple of weeks ago, and CODIS is the DNA database that is nationwide. So right now, agencies have access to his sample, and they can compare it to any cases they have that might be similar in nature. I don't know what that process is, if it's automated or if you have to send a request in, but that's something that we wanted to bring to other law enforcement agencies' attention with the announcement today.
So these are two cold cases, formerly cold cases, of child sexual assault, one dating to 2000, and Chief, one dating to 2003.
All little kids.
At Naismith Valley Park or Naismith something Park. At what point did a detective come into your office and say, we got him?
2 weeks ago. They went out to Raytown, interviewed him, got his DNA sample from using a search warrant that went to the KBI for comparison. They matched it to one of the cases. And they came into my office super excited to tell me they finally caught the guy.
Chief, is there a warrant now to serve at his home since he has lived in Kansas City, he has lived in Raytown? There could be evidence on computers, on cell phones, so that we can get our arms around how many victims there could be in this case.
Yeah, we don't have any plans right now to do that, given that it's been so long ago and the unlikely event that there's electronic evidence from our case. But that's why it's important for other agencies, especially maybe Raytown, Kansas City area, to look and see if they have any cases that have a similar MO.
So let me say this another way. Just because there has been this landmark arrest involving who we believe to be a serial child sexual predator, Kansas City or Raytown cannot automatically go search his house.
No, they would still have to develop probable cause that he committed a crime to get a search warrant to gather evidence for their crimes.
Can you tell us what he did for a living, Chief? Was he around children in any way?
No, we don't know. We're gathering he was here going to school, we think, around that time frame. And just so you all know, we have three other cases, so there are five total The other three, we don't have physical evidence to charge, but the MO is so similar, we believe that he is responsible for those as well. But because of an odd quirk in the law, the statute of limitations has run out on those three. So you have to have DNA, and then you have an extension of the statute of limitations for 1 year after the suspect is positively identified through that DNA. So that's what allows us to charge these two cases.
Without giving away process or procedure, when your detectives went to interview him and get a DNA sample 2 weeks ago, obviously he now knows that after all these years, you guys are on to him. Do you sit on his house and follow him everywhere he goes at that point?
We didn't. We didn't have really a reason to do that, and that's a very resource-intensive thing to do. So we worked on getting the warrant as quickly as we could. And once that warrant was signed yesterday morning by a judge, we had the United States Marshals Service, who are experts at picking up fugitives, pick him up. And it was within a few hours that we had him in custody.
He is 58-year-old David Zimbrick, by the way, which is a pretty unusual name. We have not been able to find any social media footprint of Mr. Zimbrick. Can you talk a little bit about the victims in the five total cases? And Chief, did you make that phone call and what was their reaction? They are now in their mid-20s.
30s. Yeah. So they were, one was 7, one was 10 when this happened, of the two that are charged. So they were very appreciative of the work that the officers did. They were really surprised that we had not given up on this. And, you know, as I said earlier, it's been, 9,000 plus days since that first one happened. And we never gave up. We were doing a lot of stuff, gathering evidence, running into brick walls. And as you guys know, DNA technology changes. And so you can get better comparisons and identifications of samples with newer technology. And now with the genealogical genetic DNA, it's just incredible how you can work to identify who somebody is based on their familial DNA.
Chief, can you stick around for one more segment? We want to talk about the cost involved, because people are going to hear this and say, why can't we just throw this into some system and start charging all the rapists today? Right. We want to ask you those questions straight ahead.
Absolutely.
All right, that's Chief Rich Lockhart with the Lawrence Police Department here on Dana and Parks.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
So if you're just joining us, here's a story from Fox 4. A decades-old cold case involving the sexual assault of children has finally been cracked thanks to the same cutting-edge investigative technique that brought down California's infamous Golden State Killer. Lawrence police announcing an arrest in a series of child sexual assault cases dating back more than 20 years using genetic genealogy to identify a suspect tied to crimes committed between 2000 and 2003. And joining us on the KMBZ hotline is Lawrence Police Chief Rich Lockhart. And Chief, thanks for your patience and waiting through the break.
You bet.
Chief, your detectives worked this for decades. The FBI had a hand in this, the KBI. I want to talk specifically about Parabon Nanolabs, which is the lab that took the DNA that then was able to say to you, this is likely his mother's profile, right? And that then leads to the rapist in all of these cases. And I would ask you, like, is that Parabon Nanolab only for law enforcement? And why are they not just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, running rapists and child predator DNA through that system so that all law enforcement agencies can do what you've done today?
Yeah, I think, you know, first of all, they did a fantastic job for us here. They're a private company, and so their tests cost money. And we spent $5,000 in one case, in one of these cases, for just one sample to get tested. And so it's expensive. And so that's part of why they're not doing it 24/7 and all this stuff. But they are helping law enforcement agencies. We would not be here today without them. And as I said this morning, I would spend every penny of my $33 million budget to do this if I could. And so, you know, it's important that we think about ways to fund this, either on the local level or the state level or the federal level. But that's what it will take is funding to be able to do something like this.
When we read in a story genetic genealogy, are we to read that 23andMe?
You know, I think that's a simple way of putting it. You know, it's difficult to understand the initial there. They gave us this hypothesis that said we believe these are his grandparents. These are his parents. And then what you have to do is go back and gather DNA samples from those people to further narrow it down.
Yes.
And eliminate people. It's really fascinating work.
I've talked about this before on the show, Chief. You can eliminate the women in the family tree. You know that the suspect was a man because these children in both cases all ran for an adult for help. And I cannot emphasize that enough today, Chief, that the kids really did what we tell them to do, that if something bad happens, go tell an adult. And in both of these cases, they did.
Yeah. And we were able to, you know, obviously get this reported to police. We were able to get there quickly and gather evidence that was really critical in solving these, including the two cigarette butts at the scene of one of them.
Can families fund their own DNA testing? Can they come to you if I'm a crime victim in Lawrence and say, I will give you $5,000 to test my case?
You know, I don't know if they could or not. I don't know why they couldn't. And certainly they shouldn't have to.
Yeah.
But that was something that was needed. I'm sure that we could figure out a way to make that happen.
How does a police department determine which cold cases they're going to keep warm?
You know, that's a great question, Scott. You have to look at it and determine where you have workable leads, things that you can follow up on. And in this case, when the detective, we had the DNA profiles, we didn't have any matches in CODIS. And so when she heard about this genealogical DNA in 2018, 2019, that's when we worked with KBI and selected Parabon to start working on developing these profiles. And then obviously with the FBI standing up their lab, they've got this nationwide, not only jurisdiction, but experience to be able to guide our work.
Did you say they have a new unit in the FBI just for this, Chief?
Yeah, it's not new anymore. It was new at the time. 2019, I think, is when they started that up, somewhere around there, late 20-teens. And they've done a lot of work on it. So where we get this one case out of, you know, 25, 26 years, they're helping law enforcement agencies all over the country. So their expertise is really invaluable as a partner to be able to solve these cases.
I don't want to put words into your mouth, but I believe you said that at the time of these crimes, he was in Lawrence as a student. Is that correct?
That's what he told us. Yes. So he was here as a student at KU.
He would have been at KU in his 30s.
20s.
20s, but late 20s.
Yeah. Late 20s. Yes.
And are you looking at other cases as we speak?
We have three other ones. But again, as I mentioned earlier, there's no physical evidence on those to link him, but the MO is the same. The description is the same. So we believe that there was probably five total.
But outside of those five, is there any search? I'm just curious. There are so many unsolved sex assaults out there.
Yeah, I don't know that we have any here that we're looking at him for, but that was the other reason we wanted to get the picture out today, is that somebody might recognize him from the picture. There, you know, are some unique identifying physical characteristics that somebody might look at, even though we're looking at 26 years later, that might help jog somebody's memory.
You indicated that there was a year or so in the law, the way that it's written, once the DNA is established and a match is made, that you guys have a year. A year to do what? To arrest or to convict? Yeah.
A year to arrest. So we have fulfilled that part of the statutory requirement by making the arrest within a couple of weeks of getting him identified.
We've talked about this before. It's a loophole in the law, Chief, that needs to be buttoned down, in my opinion.
Yeah, and it's my opinion as well. When you're talking about child sexual abuse cases, there really needs to be a hard look at whether there should be a statute of limitations on that at all. Children's memories sometimes are repressed from these things. They're very traumatic. And to be able to go back and charge those cases, even if they're 20 or 30 years old, should be something that the legislators look at to change those statutes.
This might be something out of CSI Miami or whatever, but you indicated that the company that does the genealogy genetic testing charges roughly $5,000 per test. And again, I don't want to base my law enforcement knowledge on television, but why not bring that sort of testing in-house?
It's very, very, I think the equipment needed is something that's very expensive. The expertise as well. So the expertise of the examiner is really important.
Yeah.
You know, the KBI does it, and they do a great job for us, but even they can't do it there on this level. So I think it's just equipment and expertise, and when you've got a lab like this, they can provide that service, and then they've got the experts there to be able to interpret the results accurately.
Let's end on a positive note. You have been in law enforcement such a long time, Chief. What does this mean? You have seen the technology change from, we had never even heard of DNA until the O.J. Simpson trial. And now, because of the genealogy, you know, it has led to this horrible 58-year-old suspect. And, you know, whatever book we can throw at him, which I hope is lengthy, where do you see this going and how quickly? Because it's $5,000 now. Do you see this getting better and quicker so it's not so cumbersome?
And cheaper.
Yeah, I really hope so, because that can be a limiting factor. But, you know, again, the cost is the cost. And so we found the money to be able to do that. And that was just for one sample. That wasn't like for everything. So, you know, it's not I don't want anybody to think Parabon's a bad guy because they charge us for their service.
They have a right to make a living.
But you know, it is something that, you know, my degree is in biology. So when I got my biology degree in 1980 something, we didn't envision DNA doing any of this. And the fact that now we can say, you know, with some degree of certainty that this is the person and find him through relatives is just, it's really, really cool to watch. And to be able to, you know, 35 years in law enforcement, see something like this come to fruition in my own agency. I'm just proud of the work that my people did, proud that they've been given the resources to get that done. And as I mentioned earlier, too, I hope this gives a measure of comfort to our two survivors who are still out there living with the impact of this horrific event in their lives.
Last question, Chief, if I may, and I know Dana want to end on a positive note. I think you said at the beginning of our interview, you are confident that there are more cases out there. What gives you that assessment?
My experience with sexual predators is you don't offend and then just stop offending. So the fact that there's been nothing for 26 years just really in my gut tells me there's got to be some other victims out there. I hope I'm wrong. And I very well could be, but my experience with sexual predators is that they don't offend five times and then stop. It's just not something that happens.
And we already have emails out to our partners in the Raytown law enforcement community in Kansas City, Chief, to see if they've placed, you know, somebody on this today, manpower on this now, to see if there are any more victims here. But congratulations to you and to your department, and thank you for your time today.
You bet. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
All right, that is Lawrence Police Chief Rich Lockhart here on Dana and Parks.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes, if they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Dare I say the only Billy Joel song that doesn't suck?
I have a fun little exercise for you.
Never been a fan of him.
When I was growing up, one of our history teachers gave this as an assignment. You had to take the song and explain what every bit of history was that he's talking about. With the death this week of Brigitte Bardot.
Is she mentioned in this song?
On December 28th, at age 91, I believe.
Mm-hmm. That is correct.
That means there are only three people still living from the song We Didn't Start the Fire.
Oh.
And it's going around like social. Can you name the three of them? I didn't know Brigitte Bardot was named in the song. So I've asked you.
I'm looking for her. I don't see it.
It could be a reference to her.
I don't see her name in this song.
Remind everyone.
Oh, yes, I do.
It's in there. Disneyland. Ahead of Budapest, Alabama, and Khrushchev.
Disneyland Bardot. There
okay. Okay. So, can you name the other three? There are only three people left, still alive, that he names in that history lesson that is We Didn't Start the Fire.
Which is a great song. Sugar Ray.
There's no.
Sugar Ray Leonard's still alive.
He is not listed under the stories I'm reading as still alive and in his song. One of them, most people are not going to know the name, so I'm going to give you that. Bernhard Goetz, a New York City subway vigilante.
Okay.
Bob Dylan.
You too?
Bob Dylan, as far as people.
Oh, okay.
And Chubby Checker are your three.
Chubby Checker still alive?
Chubby Checker is still alive.
Huh. Okay.
This is apparently what the internet was for. Just every year going through the list
of
the people who have passed and then comparing it against Billy Joel's We Didn't Start the Fire. Like, really? Really, people?
Yeah, I mean, he names groups in there like Beatlemania, obviously two of the Beatles are still alive.
Obviously,
he mentions
JFK.
U2. Well, James.
Thalidomide.
Princess Grace.
Big Disgrace.
Davy Crockett, I think, has been dead for a long time.
Anyway, ridiculously fun trivia that means nothing.
Speaking of celebrity deaths, I printed off a list of, and they do this every year, the famous people that died in 2025.
And they always forget two.
They always do. The most recent addition is Tatiana Schlossberg, the granddaughter of JFK, who died today. Mm-hmm. They did get Brigitte Bardot in, who died yesterday at the age of, man, she was hot.
She was a pinup girl. Like, she was famous, and then she walked away from all of that to pursue animal rights causes, Scott.
Chris Rea, the singer, what was the song that you liked from him so much? He died 2 weeks ago. Chris Rea.
Fool if you think it's over.
That's it.
Oh, I love that song.
Dare I say, fewer than I thought, Buck Rogers, Gil Gerard, Anthony Geary, who was Luke on Luke and Laura from General Hospital.
Yep.
Rob Reiner and his wife, of course, made the list. Rod Page, who was the first African-American education secretary, died at the age of 92. Sophia Kinsella, author of Shopaholic novels.
That's right, cancer.
Mm-hmm. Eldon Campbell, former Laker and NBA champion. I didn't know Fuzzy Zeller died this year.
Yes, not that long ago. In fact, I think I was on vacation with my mom and dad when it was sometime in November.
Huh. Joan Branson, who is the wife of billionaire Richard Branson. Okay. Jimmy Cliff, the reggae star from Jamaica.
Can I ask a question? And this is with all due respect. I'm not, I swear to you, not trying to be disrespectful.
Oh my God.
Is it noteworthy when the wife of someone noteworthy or the husband of someone noteworthy passes away? Because every year on these lists that they compile, someone is forgotten where you're like, how the heck did they forget that person?
Well, the in memoriam that they do at the Oscars or at the Grammys, they always leave somebody out. And it's always a big one.
I'm not saying that it's not sad that Richard Branson's wife passed and maybe she did amazing things. I'm surprised to hear a spouse. And my God, not because she's a woman. I would say the same thing. If a very famous, wealthy woman lost her husband and he was on the list.
But can't you be...
famous adjacent?
Yeah.
I suppose. Could you name Richard Branson's wife?
No, I couldn't.
Most people, I'm just being honest. It's not like Valerie Bertinelli, who was married to
Eddie Van Halen.
Sort of celebrity couple.
Well, but she was famous in her own right.
Ted Danson and Mary Steenburgen. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, yes, in that case, because they're both.
But Valerie Bertinelli was famous before she married Eddie Van Halen.
Yeah.
For the show One Day at a Time.
I love that show.
Paul Tagliabue died this year.
That's right.
At the age of 84. I forgot about that. Dick Cheney died at the age of 84. Sally Kirkland died at the age of 84. Huh. Okay. And Philadelphia rock legend Pierre Robert died at the age of 70.
Hmm. We have an Arizona man. This has been in my stack a couple days. Who sadly died this week during, quote, a routine dental procedure. Then we have a doctor in Pittsburgh, Kansas, that has just had her license suspended by the State Board of Healing Arts after a patient of hers died at a med spa in 2016. And I asked this of Scott during the break. Let's start with the Arizona man who died during a, quote, routine dental procedure. I think it was, what do you call it when... not fillers, but what do you put over your teeth?
Dentures?
No, I'll look up the name of it. Is there any you know what I'm talking about. They all do it in Hollywood. Is there anything that is, quote, routine when anesthesia is involved? And why have we gotten to some point where we just think things like that are routine? I would make the argument, you know, if it's your children, think about it, right? Mm-hmm. Anytime that you are going under... There is nothing routine about that. Well, people die under anesthesia all the time.
Well, I think it's rather infrequent, but you're right. I mean, anytime you go under anesthesia, there is a risk. But I think most people go under anesthesia and anticipate waking up. By the way, you said people are always left out. I've got three on the text line already.
Okay.
Obvious ones.
Okay.
Charlie Kirk.
Absolutely.
Ozzy Osbourne.
Wow, yes.
Ace Frehley from Kiss.
Oh my gosh. You were devastated that day.
Well, that was a tough one for me. Veneers.
Thank you. Final photo of Arizona man killed during routine dental procedure resurfaces as his families have settled a wrongful death lawsuit. A haunting selfie taken by an Arizona man hours before he suffered a fatal brain injury while undergoing a routine dental implant procedure has resurfaced as his distraught parents have settled his wrongful death lawsuit. He was 40 years old. Derek Swanson took a picture of himself beaming in the dentist chair back in 2023. He captioned the photo, quote, "Yesterday, new car. Today, implant. Fun never stops." He was eager to receive the long-awaited dental implant, booked the procedure, and never woke up due to complications with the administered anesthesia. I've always wondered about this. When you go into a hospital and you're put under, God forbid something happens.
I've been put under many times.
God forbid something happens. You are in a hospital.
Right.
What's always scared me about the, to some extent, the med spas, to some extent, the surgical centers.
What do you get put under for at a med spa?
Let me see how this woman died. Because there's a woman in Pittsburgh, Kansas, who went in for some sort of treatment and died. There are med spas that have doctors. But you're not in a hospital.
Right.
And so to me, if you're going to put me under, the surgical centers are great. I'm not saying they aren't. But do you not feel better if you are in a hospital, capital H? If you're in your dentist's office, I'm not saying dentists don't know what they're doing. Of course they do. But if there's a problem, you're in a strip mall.
But
you're not in a hospital. Most dentist's office are in a strip mall.
The only time I can remember being put under at a dentist's office, and I've had a lot of dental work done over the years, I've knocked out more than enough teeth, is when I had my wisdom teeth pulled out, and that's laughing gas.
The Pittsburgh, Missouri doctor in a med spa was suspended due to professional incompetence related to improper anesthesia dosing that caused, quote, patient fatality and poses an ongoing safety risk.
Telephone number here is 913-586-7798, 586-7798. Eric, Ashley, the others, will get with all of you in just a moment here on Dana and Parks. All right, let's get to the phones. 913-586-7798. Eric in Raymore. Eric, good afternoon. Hello.
Hey, what's going on? How y'all doing?
We're doing well. Thank you for asking.
Man, let me tell you about my story. So I got this procedure done. I don't want to speak about the hospital, but I don't want to talk about the procedure either. But I was getting the procedure done, and they put me under around about 11:15 that afternoon. I didn't wake up until 10:56 at night.
Wait, 12 hours later, Eric?
Yes.
Hey, Eric, you're a little overmodulated. Can you move the phone away from your mouth just a little bit?
Okay.
There you go. So you were under 12 hours?
Yes.
That's way better. Thank you. That doesn't seem like, I mean, were you having
the procedure was supposed to have been completed around about 3 o'clock, between 2:30 and 3. They overdid it, and it was so bad to where I woke up in pain. They couldn't even give me pain medicine because it was scared that I would go, I'd be gone. I wouldn't be here right now speaking to you. And the only reason why I know about this is because my brother-in-law was in surgery with me. He works there. And he was the one that told me about it, but no one else spoke to me about it. Nobody talked to me about it, mentioned it to me at all. I had to sign out to my brother-in-law. He said, "Eric, they thought you was almost gone." I'm like, "Are you serious?" He said, "That's why when you woke up, you had no pain medicine in you." I'm like, "Cause they were scared to give you anything. It would took you over." Are you serious?
Can I ask what the procedure was for? Don't name the hospital. Don't name a doctor.
Knee replacement.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I'm telling you now, man. He said you were so, your pulse was so faint. They was worried, man. And I'm like, imagine how many people go out like that. It's scary. It is so scary. Yeah. It makes you think about surgeries and stuff and malpractice lawsuits, because you're like, man, you got to know what you're doing when you give these people this medication. You got to have it down to a, you know what I'm saying? You can't be playing around with that stuff.
Well,
I was almost an example of that, you know?
Well, Eric, I'm glad you're 6 feet up and not 6 feet under.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay, man. You be well. And you wonder why I don't want to get my knees fixed. Interesting. Very, very interesting. Ashley on line two. Hello.
Hey, guys. Dana, you probably know this, being all tatted up and stuff, but they're actually, some tattoo studios are bringing in anesthesiologists now for like big back pieces and big leg pieces, big arm pieces, and you can pay to have an be under anesthesiology.
No. Yes. No.
Someone someone in Hollywood died doing this just this last year.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, people have died going under to get tattooed. It's absolutely ridiculous because then your body, you can't have that pain response while you're getting tattooed, which is very important. I mean, people pass out while getting tattooed because of your body's natural pain response. It's very important for your artist to have that and to be able to communicate with your artist while you're getting tattooed. It's very, very dangerous.
Okay, but let me ask you, Ashley, who is qualified and tattoo artists are artists. There is no question about it.
I have a good friend who's a tattoo artist.
They do incredible work, but they are not anesthesiologists. So when you go to have this procedure done, where are you going to get that done?
I have no idea because I'm not stupid enough to be put under anesthesia, that stuff voluntarily.
Yeah, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Ashley, thank you for the call. You can't be doing that in the back room of some tattoo parlor.
If you can't handle the pain of getting a tattoo, you shouldn't get a tattoo.
It was almost 1 year ago, January 2025, Brazilian influencer Ricardo Godoy died after being administered general anesthesia for a large back tattoo procedure. He went into cardiac arrest at the beginning of sedation before the tattooing even began and could not be revived.
Why would you get a tattoo if you can't deal with the pain?
This was the removal process. No, this was the tattoo process. You're right. I don't know.
Pete Davidson is getting all of his tattoos removed.
Yep.
And he said it is twice as painful to get the tattoos removed than it was to get the tattoos in the first place.
Yep.
By the way, another celebrity death we missed, Val Kilmer.
Wow.
Died in 2025.
I would not want to be the producer in charge of compiling that list.
I mean, this list sucks. And this is, what was this from, Jason, NBC News? I think we got this from NBC News.
I believe that's correct, yes.
I mean, they put in, no offense to this guy, I'm sorry that he passed. But listed in here is not only Joan Branson, the wife of Richard Branson, but also the son of Jackson Brown, Ethan. And yet you missed Val Kilmer, Charlie Kirk, Ace Frehley, and Ozzy Osbourne. But yet we made sure we got Jackson Brown's son, Ethan, no offense to him, on the list. This list is terrible. They got Steve Cropper, the guitarist for Booker T and the MGs, who died at, did everybody die at the age of 84?
Huh.
But we forgot Ace Frehley, the lead guitarist of Kiss. Okay.
One of my favorite stories of the day, Scott.
What you got?
A Southern California homeowner says a 550-pound black bear has been living in the crawl space under his home for more than a month and will not come out.
Got to eat sometime.
He says, quote, "It sounds like there's a dragon living underneath my house. The bear has damaged a gas line, forcing the homeowner this week to shut off the gas." Somehow they got a picture of the guy. At one point, the bear, you guys, we're going to post this on social, tries to emerge and is so fat, it gets stuck in the vent going down into that crawl space.
Poor guy.
They are dumb. Is there someone you can call? Like, critter control is not going to help you with that.
This is going to be the extension office from the state university somewhere.
Despite very limited staff, biologists have been in constant communication with the homeowner since the bear was reported first entering in November.
Well, he was probably going in to hibernate and probably wasn't expecting to come out until
Oh my
April
gosh.
Or May. Norm in North Kansas City, you've got 30 seconds. What's up?
Hey, you forgot an important person. June Lockhart passed away this year. She played the mother on Lassie and Lost in Space.
Oh, June Lockhart. God, it's been years since I've thought about Lassie. Thank you, Norm.
He's right. She died October 23rd. June Lockhart.
Bears, by the way, Scott, are experts in fitting into the smallest of openings under houses and decks. And once they're in, they make themselves at home, which can result in thousands of dollars in damage.
913-586-7798. Dana Wright. That guy over there is Jason High. He's filling in for Sam Stevie. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ. We will see you on the other side of the news.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.